And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to American Family Radio. We love ministering to you. We hope you love what we're doing as much as we love doing it. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening. Remember, we are heard all over the country on a variety of stations, all over this great land of ours. But you can also hear us even if you aren't anywhere near radio stations. So please be sure to tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a colleague, tell all your family members. They can tune into us at afr.net and they can live stream all the programs. Not only that, not only can you live stream all the programs, but the programs are archived and you can go back, I'm not sure how far, but quite a ways, to any program that you've missed or that you may even want to hear again. Thought it was so good that you know, as they say, it was so nice, I want to do it twice. So you can go back and listen to the programs and pick up any information that you might have missed or anything that you want to hear again. Look, folks, right now, I am safely ensconced in my home studio in Virginia. I live not very far from the coast. And in fact, my home is really on the coast of Virginia, but I'm not right on the beach, obviously. But the storm is here and its effects are being felt as a tropical storm. As I look out my window, I see the trees swaying in the wind, and we're having some effects here. Now, thank God I am not without power. In fact, if I were, I probably wouldn't be on right now. You probably wouldn't be listening to me right now because I wouldn't have any way to broadcast to you. But I do have church members, friends who are in areas where their power is completely out. So the storm's effects are being felt here in Virginia. Of course, they're being felt along the coast, all up and down the coast. North Carolina, I think, is where it made landfall. But we are, of course, not far from North Carolina. Where I live is, oh my goodness, I'm in any given direction, I may be 10, 15 minutes from the North Carolina-Virginia line. So I'm right near North Carolina myself. So pray for us, folks, and pray for all of those who have been affected by this storm. Number of people killed in the Bahamas. I haven't heard any reports of any Americans killed as yet. But let us be praying for all the families affected by this terrible storm that's hit the Bahamas and is now running up the coast of the United States. Of course, we're praying that this thing will turn out to sea and dissipate and go away. And thank God we haven't had nearly the kind of hit we were expecting, because Florida thought it was going to get a direct hit for maybe a Category 4 or 5 storm. Nevertheless, a lot of people have been affected. A lot of people have been devastated. A lot of property damage. Here again, a lot of people are facing power outages. A lot of people are facing flooding. And we want to help them. And I'm sure you all know that we are in partnership. AFR is in partnership with 8 Days of Hope. And they're an organization that is always trying to help people in need in these major weather disasters and other kinds of things that can happen. And in the next 48 hours, you're going to be hearing what they're going to be doing, coming out of their offices, what they're going to be doing to help the people who have been ravaged by the storm. In the meantime, until they officially announce their involvement, in the meantime, we are getting ready, okay? Here at AFR, we are getting ready. And here's what we need from those of you who want to help. We need generators, obviously help people get their power up. We need gloves. We need safety glasses. We need dust masks. And by the way, that's N95 only. I don't understand the technical requirements there, but I'm sure those of you who are out there, if you go to buy a dust mask, you tell them, I need an N95. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. We need Tyvek suits, size large and extra large only. We need heavy-duty plastic garbage bags. We need steel chainsaws. We need bar oil for chainsaws. We need gas for chainsaws, and that's 50-1 premix fuel brand, by the way. True Fuel is what we need for that. We need gift cards, those from Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot. And we've got two drop-off locations. We can go to Bancorp South Arena in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we'll have a trailer set up there in Lot D of Bancorp South Arena in Tupelo, Mississippi. And the other location will be our Northeast satellite in Buffalo, New York, 852 Kensington Ave in Buffalo. That's 852 Kensington Ave in Buffalo, New York. We'll be accepting donations starting Monday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Starting Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's Central Time. So for, I assume for the Buffalo office, it'll probably be 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can double check that. And of course, as always, you can volunteer, donate at our website. Go to AFR.net, or you can mail in a donation to P.O. Box 3208, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803. That's P.O. Box 3208, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803. And listen, thanks for all that you do to help 8 Days of Hope. I mean, we've been helping them, partnering with them for a while, and you all have been so generous toward them. And believe me, the people that they help, as well as they themselves and we, are deeply grateful for what you do. Because this is how we love and serve people in need. Remember, we're Christians, and we really do care about people, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what their background. When people are hurting, when people are in need, when people are facing these kinds of tragedies, we want to be a help because we represent the love of Almighty God. And so, folks, thanks. Thanks for that. And maybe I'll get a chance to come back to that before the end of the program, because I know I gave you a lot of information and you may not have been ready to write it down. So have a pen or a pencil nearby, and that way you can get some of this information and you can respond, because I know there are those of you out there who want to respond. Again, this is The Awakening here on American Family Radio Network. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. If you want to follow me on Facebook, you can do that at E.W. Jackson S.R., E.W. Jackson S.R. The website for my organization, I run, I'm the CEO of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. Our website is standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and you can go check it out and you can sign up and we'll send you emails and keep you posted on the things that we're doing. We got a lot of things going right now. I won't take the time today to get into that, but you can go to the website and learn more about it. Now, since it's Friday and the program is heard in Virginia and North Carolina, if you're looking for a place to go to church, I want to remind you, I am the pastor of a church. I do preach every Sunday that I'm there, and I'm there most Sundays. Our church is called the Call Church. It's a non-denominational Christian church. We believe in the triune God. We believe in the inerrancy of the Holy Bible. We believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh to die on the cross for our sins, that he rose on the third day in a glorified bodily resurrection and is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, ever making intercession for us, and that the Holy Spirit indwells us and gives us a new being. If anyone is in Christ, we are new creations. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. We believe all of that. And so if you come visit us, you will find a church that is four square with the gospel, not denominationally four square, you understand, but in completely in line with the word of God. So folks, it is Friday. I hope you're going to have a great weekend. I'm not going anywhere yet, by the way. I'm just saying that to you. So please stand by, because I'll be back with some issues of the day.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Michael Yosef warns us that we face both external threats and internal threats in his new book, The Hidden Enemy. We face an external threat from radical political Islam. That does not mean that all Muslims are an enemy. He has great concern and passion for Muslims, having been born in Egypt. His broadcasts go into the Muslim countries to proclaim the gospel, but he is well aware that radical Muslims want to sweep away Western civilization and impose a global caliphate. The internal threat we face is from a coalition of secular humanists, atheists, and leftists. They want to erase America's Judeo-Christian values and replace them with relativism, sexual liberation, and hedonism. He calls this the Great American Delusion. Humanists and atheists have been successful in transforming much of America through the media, the courts, the educational system, and popular culture. He also recognizes that these two groups could not be more opposed to each other in theory, but there is a surprising alliance that sometimes has developed between Muslims and humanists. His book provides some interesting details and examples of how this has happened in the past. Now, near the end of the book, he also talks about another enemy inside the church. He reminds us that some believers in the past opened the door to the false religion of Muhammad. He sees a similar accommodation today where church leaders in certain denominations are preaching a false gospel. It is another warning that we should stay true to the gospel and reject those who want to try to make the Bible relevant to society by making the church and the Bible conform to society. This book will help you understand the threats we face and encourage you to take a bold stand for the gospel. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
My typical day started out drinking, and it would continue during the day, and then I would wake up 4 or 5 times a night and have to drink because my body would start shaking and would respond to not having alcohol in it. I was in the hospital 3 times and that didn't even stop me. I still went back out and drank. I came to Adult and Teen Challenge. It means everything to me because if I don't stay sober, I don't have anything. God kept me. There was a reason why I'm still alive, and I finally found that place in life where I feel good.
Hey, I'm Jason from Building 429. You can live a life of purpose, free from addiction and full of hope. Even if you're not struggling with an addiction yourself, you may know a teen or an adult who is. And Teen Challenge centers across the country are waiting to help at 855-END-ADDICTION or teenchallengeusa.org. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. On Sharpiegate, it turns out that President Trump has been right all along. Don't expect to hear that on the Talking Snake Media. The Drew Brees draws the wrath of regressives by encouraging students to bring their Bibles to school. And illegal immigration may allow Democrats to choose our presidents forever. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And as I was saying, I am a pastor, for those of you who are listening in the general area. But you know what? Even if you're listening in California, you want to jump on a plane tomorrow and fly on out here to be a part of our worship service, go ahead and do it. I don't want to stop the Holy Spirit from having you make that kind of move. But our worship service happens at the Call Church. We are at 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake. You can learn more about us at thecalled.org, thecalled.org. What is it, the called? It comes out of Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord, for them who are the called according to his purpose. That's where the name comes from. All right, folks. Yesterday, I had the sad duty of explaining to you that I am mentally ill, at least according to the left. Because any black man, any black person who would dare cast a vote for President Donald Trump or support him has got to be mentally ill. No, of course, absolutely. You can't possibly contradict your liberal masters and be all there. There must be something missing because they are omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, and they know all, and they understand all, and you've got to agree with them. Well, no, wait a minute. You know, that sounded like a description of God. Well, I think that's who they think they are. You know, that's who they think they are. And so they should be able to dictate, not persuade, not convince, not marshal facts and evidence, not bring to bear strong arguments that are persuasive, but no. They should be able to dictate to you what you think and what you say and how you feel. And if you don't adhere to what they say, then obviously they've got to rub a room for you somewhere, because that's where you belong, of course. But you know what? Just like communists of the past, they never change, do they? I mean, they're totalitarian in their thinking, and anybody who doesn't go along deserves to be imprisoned, tortured, or killed. That's, folks, that's the way communism has always operated, and I really believe that these people are informed by Marxist thinking, and that left to their own devices, that is where they will always land. It always ends at the point of a gun. Well, today, I have further sad news. Today, as it turns out, at least according to the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco, the NRA is a terrorist organization, and since I am a life member of the NRA, that makes me a terrorist. Now, please, TSA, don't put me on any no-fly list. Don't go there. Don't start. But apparently, according to the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco, I am part of a terrorist organization. Folks, where does this stuff end? I mean, where does it end? And, you know, it is interesting to me. I don't know whether they mean it when they say that any black person who votes for Donald Trump is mentally ill. They probably do. They certainly mean it when they say any white person who supports Donald Trump is a racist. So if you're black, you're crazy. If you're white, you're evil. But I don't know whether they mean that, they believe that, or they're just saying that because they want to vilify and marginalize and scandalize and discredit anybody who supports this president. But, you know, when you see votes like what just happened in San Francisco, you really do have to wonder, are these people really, truly, truly mentally imbalanced? Because I think that there's something to be said for the argument that when you are incapable of seeing reality for what it is, I don't care what the situation is, when you are delusional so that what you see is not there, that constitutes, well, really constitutes psychosis, doesn't it? It's not mere mental illness. It's psychosis. It's the worst kind of mental illness that there is. You are psychotic. I mean, and so to label the NRA a terrorist organization when the NRA is no more than an advocacy organization that protects your Second Amendment rights and mine, it doesn't advocate going out and hurting anybody. You know, I've said many times, now I'm a life member of the NRA, folks, a life member of the NRA, and I've said many times, I don't want to hurt anybody. I really don't. I have been threatened. I've never threatened anybody. I've had people do things to try to make me feel physically intimidated because they don't like what I stand for. I've never tried to do that to anybody. But the left has done it to me, and you know they've done it to many other people. I mean, they have near riots when somebody tries to speak on a college campus who is conservative. They've thrown objects at people. You've seen guys on college campuses get punched out, sucker punched, and knocked out by some leftist who doesn't like the position that conservative student is taking. I would never do that. I don't advocate it. I would oppose it and do oppose it with every fiber of my being. My membership in the NRA is simply to be part of an organization that is helping to defend a right which I hold sacred, my right of self-defense, my right to keep and bear arms. Listen, in heaven and in the kingdom of God, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they study war anymore. But that's not now. Now there are bad people out there who want to do bad things to good and decent people, and good and decent people must be in a position to defend themselves against those bad and evil people who want to hurt them or hurt their families or hurt their children. And so the that's the opposite of terrorism. Frankly, it is wanting to be able to stop terrorism when you see it. And yet, these bunch of imbalanced people, unanimously, folks, they didn't have one dissent, not one, on the Board of Supervisors, unanimously declared the NRA a terrorist organization. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Well, you know, Bishop, does that really matter? I mean, this, after all, it's San Francisco, and we all know they're nuts. We all know that they're, I mean, they've got homeless people living on the streets, and they feel like cleaning that up would be discriminating or something. I don't know what, you know, but they have a history of engaging in some very, very bizarre behavior in San Francisco. So you may say, hey, well, EW, I mean, really? I mean, who cares? I mean, these people are, they're out of whack, and everybody knows it. Well, you know what? I would agree with that, except for this. Folks, the general ethic of much of this country now on sexual matters was once only the ethic of San Francisco. Stop and think about that for a moment. The degree to which homosexuality and transgenderism and all of this perverse sexual, gender-bending, abominable nonsense that now happens in the libraries all across our country has come into the mainstream of our nation. Much of that started in San Francisco. So while I would love to dismiss their craziness and say, oh, yeah, everybody knows they're crazy, somehow, folks, what happens in California, even in San Francisco, has a way of spreading like a metastasizing cancer across the nation. And I would not be the least bit surprised if we don't stop it now, if we don't fight it now, if we don't absolutely denounce it now, oppose it now. I would not be the least bit surprised to look up 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, probably wouldn't take 10 years, and see cities all across the country that have declared the NRA and their members terrorists. And with the right administration in place, there's no reason why that could not become American policy. Now, it would be fought in the courts, and there would be a big battle over it. But the thing is, when it becomes the mindset of bureaucrats to think of people who believe in the Second Amendment as domestic terrorists, whether a law is passed or a judge says anything or not, you better believe that's going to affect our public policy and affect the way our government deals with us. And therein lies the danger. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One day, a friend and I were walking just to the south of the old city of Jerusalem. We were headed down to the Pool of Siloam. We were passing through an Arab residential section, and several children were playing in the streets. The children were looking at us very closely, for they knew that we were tourists. I decided to see if I could speak a word of greeting in a language they would understand. Now, I did not know how to greet them in their language, but I knew that their word for greeting and the Jewish word of greeting, salam, were very similar in sound. I looked at one group of little children and tried my luck. Shalom, I said as best I could. Immediately a smile appeared on their faces, and a familiar word came back. Hello, they replied. I tried to talk to them in English, but they couldn't understand a word I said. Evidently, they, like myself, knew only the one word of foreign language. So my friend and I continued on down the street. With each child, I waved my hand and said, Shalom, and always the reply came back, Hello. Each child replied with a word I knew and a big smile. On down the road away, my friend made a comment. You know, a smile is understood in any language. And it is. When words cannot be understood, a smile can. We were able to communicate with little children, and they with us, through the simple effort of a smile. My day was made a whole lot better by little children who greeted us, grinning from ear to ear, and laughing at my crude efforts to say hello in their language. A smile is such a simple thing. It can never be complicated. It's so simple that little children, the world over, know what it means. And a smile certainly has good effects on both the one who uses it and the one to whom it is expressed. I've been around people who have forgotten how to smile. Many of them are so sour you wonder if they ever knew how. And I must confess that rather than adding any sunshine to my day, they generally succeeded in detracting from it. William Shakespeare once wrote, "The robbed that smiles steals something from the thief." And it was Nathaniel Hawthorne who wrote, "A stale article, if you will dip it in a good, warm, sunny smile, will go off better than a fresh one that you've scrawled upon." It doesn't take much effort to smile, nor any knowledge at all. It only takes a good attitude in the heart. And smiling takes only about half the physical effort of a frown. Life can get so complicated at times that it takes a few simple things to get it going right again. Simple things have a way of making life more enjoyable. And, as we all know, a smile is such a simple thing.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
I love those commentaries by Don Wildman. You know, in fact, as he was saying that, it was making me smile. Well, look, folks, I'm your host here on American Family Radio. This is The Awakening program. The number here is 888-589-8840. I'm going to prepare to take your calls here in a moment because I want you all to weigh in on the NRA being declared by the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco to be a terrorist organization. And here again, I don't know what that means in terms of its legal impact, but folks, anytime a lawful body makes a declaration like that, it has legal implications. And I think the problem is that whatever the legal implications are all unconstitutional because they are all in violation of our First and Second Amendment rights, by the way, because the NRA has the First Amendment right to defend the Second Amendment. And that's basically all they do. They just encourage those who believe in the Second Amendment to speak up and to exercise their rights under the Constitution of the United States. That's now a terrorist organization, which makes yours truly a terrorist. I mean, it's preposterous. Here's the last thing I want to say, and then I want to hear from you all. The number is 888 888-589-8840. I've been doing a study lately of the Communist Party USA because I have been frankly amazed at the synergy, at the commonality that exists between the Democrat Party and the Communist Party. And of course, the Democratic Socialists are the same. The Communist Party, by the way, endorses the Democratic Socialist agenda of making America a socialist country. So they are in sync. But when you look at the policies of the Communist Party and the things that they enunciate even on their website, you could be reading the Democratic platform. I mean, think about that. The implication is the Democrat Party is completely in sync with communists. And folks, I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic for the purpose of trying to shock you. I mean, this is reality that I'm talking about. In fact, to me, it's rather sad. Now, I just read you what San Francisco, we know they're all Democrats out there, but what they said about the NRA, and we know that the Democrat Party and liberals and leftists are completely against the Second Amendment. They overwhelmingly are opposed to it. They would like to see it repealed. You get a few moderates who'll say, no, we don't want to repeal it. But those are few and far between. In their heart of hearts, most of the liberals and the leftists and the Democrats would just like to see it done away with. Well, they think the Constitution itself is antiquated. They certainly think the Second Amendment is antiquated and that it needs to be done away with. I'm sure you've heard about this ongoing effort to do away with the Electoral College as antiquated, as racist, as this, as that. Well, you know, these people are so ignorant of our history and Constitution that ought to be a crime. It ought to be a crime to be that ignorant of American history and serve in public office. I'm serious. The Electoral College wasn't developed over race. It was developed over making sure that larger states did not overpower and dominate and control the entire apparatus of the federal government without regard to the smaller states. Here again, I don't want to get off on this, but if you did away with the Electoral College, folks, people who running for president would only campaign in the larger, more populous areas because they wouldn't need the smaller states. If you did away with the Electoral College, you might as well do away with two senators from each state and just have the senators elected on the basis of population as well. Well, let me say this. And by the way, you all know September 17th is Constitution Day. I'm planning something special for you on that day. Folks, America, the United States of America, is not a democracy. Now, all you leftists out there listening, that probably just sent you into apoplexia. America, the United States of America, is not and was not designed to be a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We are governed by democratic principles. You know, one man, one vote. The ability of the people to weigh in on the issues of the day and certain other principles that go into being democratic. But that I'm talking about democratic in the technical sense, meaning that we allow all of the people who are citizens of our country to weigh in on issues of public policy, either by voting for representatives who will speak for them in Congress or elsewhere, or in some cases by referenda, which allow them to vote on a particular issue. But we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And let me be clear on what the difference is. A constitutional republic means that we have a governing document that limits even what the majority may do. Because democracies are governed by majority. The majority can't get together and vote away your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights, your Third Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment rights. The majority can't get together and by majority say, well, we're going to throw out the Constitution. The majority can't get together and say, well, you know what? We don't like them. We're going to kill them. We are a constitutional republic, meaning that that our Constitution sets forth a government with limitations that don't even allow the majority to call upon the government to do certain things that are beyond the limits of his power as set forth by the Constitution of the United States. It is a document of limited and enumerated powers for the United States government. And therefore, it limits the power of even what the majority can do, because the majority cannot go beyond the strictures of that Constitution in voting things. So we are not a democracy. But the left, like, oh, we're a democracy. We're a democracy. We're a democracy. Somebody give them an education. We're not. We're a constitutional republic. We elect our representatives by democratic means. Means we vote for them. But because we are not a democracy, the founding fathers wanted to preserve the uniqueness of each state and the influence of the various states, and therefore they set up an electoral college for voting for the president so that every state would have a say and that smaller states would not be completely overwhelmed by larger states. I mean, California has 35 million people, folks. I mean, that's more than a tenth of, 11 or 12% of the population of the entire country. And we've got 50 states. So you put California together with New York and a couple of other populous states, and you don't need to go anywhere else to run for president. That's exactly what the founding fathers did not want. It had nothing to do with race. But of course, in the minds of these very warped people, everything has to do with race. I mean, you got Ocasio-Cortez, these people running around. We got to get rid of the Electoral College. It was a racist plot. Oh, my Lord, help us. At any rate, let me get back to the Communist Party USA. Number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to come right to you. Sorry, folks. The Communist Party USA says this. The Second Amendment is now being used by right-wing anti-worker groups and politicians to divide and conquer. There's no basis for claiming this amendment was intended to permit unregulated personal acquisition of firearms. They go on to say, these are the same forces attacking programs like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, blah, 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 blah. These are the same forces that oppose President Obama. These are the same forces that promote racist attacks. Racism and attacks on women and immigrants and gays and lesbians, and if you support the agenda of the National Rifle Association and their political allies, you are supporting the enemies of America's working people. And they go on to talk about this issue, and by the time you're finished, guess what the conclusion has got to be? The NRA is a terrorist organization. In other words, communism is informing these politicians. Communism is informing them. I don't know whether it's just in the air, or the water they drink, or the stuff they study. Folks, we're dealing with a bunch of communists around us these days. It's a sad fact of the matter. I'll be back in a moment.
Communication is key. When your child comes over with the grands, I ask them, what are they allowed to have today?
As a grandparent, you want to respect your children's rules for their kids. Here's Michelle Howe on Focus on the Family Minute.
In my mind, I know what their standard is in their house. Yeah. I want to uphold it and applaud it and elevate it so that those grandkids love their moms and dads and respect them, and then we can be that conduit that helps it all work out. Because there's going to be a point where those grandkids are going to start rebelling some, questioning the authorities. You know, I mean, my grandsons have said to me, well, mommy makes me do that. What do you think?
Oh, really?
And yeah. And I'll say, well, I think that is a really good idea because da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, so you support mommy.
Mommy. Support mommy. Support daddy.
Ask about the boundaries your kids have set in place for your grandchildren and support those. More from Michelle at FamilyMinute.org.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
This is Penny Weaver from Decatur, Illinois. Last year, we had the privilege of J.J. Jasper as our speaker. We had our largest fundraising banquet ever.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
The 2019 Values Voter Summit is coming October 11th through the 13th to Washington, D.C. The summit will help inform and mobilize citizens across America to preserve the bedrock values that help make our nation strong. The event will include speakers like Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, American Values President Gary Bauer, Congressman Jim Jordan, host Mark Levin, and FRC President Tony Perkins. We may even hear from President Trump. Here's AFA Action Vice President Rob Chambers.
We'll be sponsoring Benjamin Bull at our VBS luncheon. Benjamin Bull is AFA Action's Vice President for Governmental Affairs, and he'll be the guest speaker speaking on advancing religious liberty in an LGBT world.
Register and get more information at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Don't miss the 2019 Values Voter Summit, October 11th through the 13th in Washington, D.C., co-sponsored by the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, let's come right to the lines because I want to hear from you all. Let's go to Ron in California. Ron, welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you? I mentioned California earlier, and there you are.
Yeah, I am the only affiliate station in California for AFR.
Well, listen, wonderful. We are proud to have you.
Yeah, I've been with them a long time, and so it's been fun. Great ride.
Well, great.
I missed you a couple of days ago when you got on climate change. I mean, I'm out here with the fruits and nuts, you know, in San Francisco, so what they're doing with the NRA is ridiculous. It's just no sense at all. But, you know, or when you got the loons and the inmates running the asylum, what do you expect?
You know, Ron, I'm amazed, and that's why I brought this up, at the influence that California has had on the rest of the country, because, you know, a lot of this stuff started there.
Yeah, I know. You know, as they always used to say, what starts in California ends up in the rest of the nation eventually. But I could have saved CNN 7 hours of idiocy the other night. There's a couple statements out. I don't know why you haven't seen on your news desk or whatever. But NOAA has come out with a statement that there's been no U.S. warming since at least 2005. So, you know, NOAA's one of our big ones.
Oh, they came up with some doozies, didn't they? The things we have to do to save the planet?
Then, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything from stop the use of combustion engines to get rid of plastic straws. I mean, we're going to save this planet no matter what, right?
I know. Well, now they've had to admit at least there's been no warming in the United States since at least 2005. And then NASA has now admitted that their climate change occurred because of changes in Earth's solar orbit and not because of SUVs and fossil fuels. They've been holding this back since 1958, 60 years ago, that they've been sitting on this information and not let it out.
And Ron, because it's not about saving the planet, it's about taking control
of
people's lives. That's what it's really about. Listen, thanks so much, Ron. Hey, keep up the good work out there, and I'm glad to know you're there.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
All right. God bless you. Okay, let's go to George in Missouri. Welcome, George.
Hey, EW, how you doing? Thank you.
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, man. If it was any better, I'd...
Hey, man, we are blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, you're my black American brother, and I'm your Caucasian American brother, I tell you. These people got a lot to learn. They just think that one little area of the country is supposed to run all the rest of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My best friend is sitting on the driveway. He's a black lab.
I got you. I don't have one. My wife won't let me, but go ahead.
I tell you, I don't know why Americans can't get along. I tell you, I was at the at a hardware store the other day, and it seemed like I could tell them, I'd say, well, hey, I'm voting for Trump. Oh my God, it looked like their head got set on fire. And you're like, what? I'm like, people, it's an opinion. You can agree to disagree. You don't have to kill each
exactly,
other.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Hey, George, thank you so much for the call, brother. Brother from another mother. Talk to you a little later. Call back again. You know, folks, I'll just say this quickly before I come to the next caller. This stuff, these leftists, it's as if they belong to a cult. It's not normal politics. It's like they belong to a cult, and it has complete control of their minds and their thinking, and they can't, just like any cult, you have to hate the people outside the cult or who have left the cult or don't agree with the cult. And so in some cases, you got to kill the people who don't agree with the cult. I mean, this is, folks, this is Jim Jones territory we're in with these leftists, in my view. Okay, let's go to Barry from Alabama. Welcome, Barry.
Hey, W, just want to encourage you and affirm what you're saying. Let me say the truth is, like Rush Limbaugh has said, the left wing is a mental illness, unfortunately. But pray for the Californians. And I have to disagree with you when you say, and I know it's in jest, that the whole coast is gone, but pray for those 7,000 that have not been named yet, as mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But two good resources real quick to affirm what you're saying, and I know AFA would go along with it, the 5,000-Year Leap book, as well as the work of wall builders. The truth is the truth. And God bless you. Keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, Barry. God bless you. And of course, right, you're right. I say it in jest. Because look, I love all Americans. And folks, that includes the people who don't agree with me. I think sometimes they ought to probably leave. They hate the country so much. But I still love them. We don't hate anybody. And what we want to do is win people and persuade people. I think I said yesterday, you know, some of these people, I think they'd love to just see us wiped off the face of the earth. What we want to do is see them saved and see them come to know the love of God in their hearts. So, yeah, and by the way, forgive this because it's cliche. Some of my best friends are in California. Okay, and I mean that. I mean that, folks. I've got some very good friends in California. Okay, let's go to PJ in Michigan. Welcome, PJ.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm very, very good. I'm very happy to hear, Bishop Jackson, that you're on the radio and bringing up the subject of San Francisco and their vote for against the NRA. Just a couple points I wanted to make was, first of all, the Second Amendment is the icing on the cake of all the freedoms. It's the sentinel that keeps all the other freedoms alive and can protect those other freedoms. And the second thing I just wanted to say was the NRA has always advocated the safe and proper use of that Second Amendment, that ability to be able to safely and responsibly use a firearm in defense. Never once have they ever advocated violence on anybody. And so it's really disturbing that here you have a group, the NRA, that supports a Second Amendment that gives the freedom for people to be able to really have their say in the world, or in, at least in our country. And even people, these people fight against something that gives them the freedom to defend their freedoms, if that makes sense.
Well, no, it makes perfect sense. But you know what? I think the bottom line is they don't really care about freedom for anybody but themselves. This is what the elites of the left always do. They claim that they're interested in uplifting the little guy, but what they always end up doing is crushing the little guy and exalting themselves over that small person. I mean, it happens every single time. And so freedom is really the answer. I mean, so I couldn't agree with you more, man. Let's go to Cindy in Arkansas. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi. I appreciate all that you're doing, and I agree with what you're saying. And I just want to say that the Second Amendment, they're not just hitting at the Second Amendment. They're wanting to do away with the Constitution. And if they do away with the Second Amendment, they're going to move to another one to do away with. And if they do away with the Constitution, we have no rights left.
Well, and, you know, Cindy, they're already saying that the First Amendment needs revision, because the First Amendment shouldn't include hate speech. And you know what hate speech is? Anything they don't agree with. So you're right. I mean, it'll fall like dominoes. If they take that one down, they'll take the others down as well.
And the thing is, everybody who says they hate America, they hadn't left. And people are dying to get here. What other country do people die to get to?
Yeah, you know what? And you're right. And the people who say that, notice they don't leave. Cindy, thanks for the call. God bless you. All right, let's go to Carol in Louisiana. Welcome, Carol. Oh, do I have that right? Carol on line three.
Hi, Bishop. You're doing yeoman's work. Just read J. Edgar Hoover's book, Masters of Deceit, about communism. And he says that the communists would redesign us from being a child or creation of God into a soulless social cog. And Whitaker Chambers says that the problem with communism is not economic. The problem with communism is atheism. Mm-hmm. And I remember Zeke Emanuel, Rob Emanuel's brother, who helped put that Obamacare together. And he said the problem with medicine is the Hippocratic Oath. So all these people that want to, you know, if the government can control your medicine and your food and your education, they own you.
Yep.
But thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you, Cal. And you're right. And that's what they want. Now, I'm very short on time, but James from Arkansas, you've been waiting patiently. James, you get the last word. Go right ahead and make it brief if you could. Oh, he's gone? Oh, Joe in Mississippi. There you go. Joe, welcome. Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Joe, you've only got about 30 seconds.
Basically, I don't think that it's more racist now with black folks being racist than it was before. Like, say, my wife is white. It used to be a white guy would say something like, oh, look, how typical, a white girl with a black guy. And now it's the black ladies that are cutting their eyes, you know, when they see my wife white.
Hey, Joe, listen, call me back at another time, but I'm glad we got you in for a few seconds. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.